Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast, episode 67. Today, Ben and I are going to be diving into the games that are causing huge viewership jumps on different streaming platforms and exactly why that is. The prime example being The Last of Us HBO show that's sort of going viral on media. A lot of people talking about it on Twitter is seeing huge viewership boosts on Twitch, and we've got a few different examples as well as some games to look forward to over the coming year that you might be able to jump on if you plan your content around them and get that gain in viewership yourselves.
Yeah, Pete, we also touched on how the different platforms have been trending over December in 2022 and how drops have really impacted that along with these video game adaptations. So lots to talk about this week. Let's jump into it.
Shoutouts, I believe, is the main thing that we're going to be talking about. So shoutouts was a command that was added only a few weeks ago where you can sort of shout out other streamers and it shows us a different sort of pop-up style in your chat. And the Twitch developers have added that as an API endpoint, which means that any of the Twitch LinkedIn software that you kind of used before, so Streamlabs, Stream Elements, StreamerBot, Atom, any of these kind of bits of software are going to be able to use that data in any way. So I guess they're going to be able to do some cool things when you do a shout out, or if they see a shout out in your chat, you're going to be able to integrate that in any kind of way that you want. Maybe not the most exciting feature, but cool to see that straight away they've seen the request for this and released it straight away, Ben.
Yeah, I think shout outs is actually one of the core things Twitch has added lately. Not that they've added a ton lately, because it creates the pop-up right in the chat and it tells the chat, like, come follow this person with us. It's a really good UI. So it's cool to see them add this endpoint to it, because you could probably do some cool things where if someone raids you over a certain number of viewers or something, it automatically gives them the shout out, sort of automations like that to help with some of that. So I think this is brand new, Pete, 4 days ago. So I haven't seen it actually used yet, but I'm sure that people will find some interesting ways to use it, because it is pretty nice if you do a lot of collaboration or raiding around to help support each other, kind of. And it's cool to see that as an option.
Yeah, I'm already thinking of how this could like link in these special clever bits of software could probably, you know, pull the most viewed clip from the shout-outed streamer's chat or channel and then display that on stream. You know, I mean, I'm just thinking from the top of my head. I'm sure somebody that's smarter than me will think of a better way to integrate this. But it's good to see Twitch supporting the API and adding more and more features in it. I think we talked last week about how Twitter are basically removing a load of functionality from their API. A lot of the big Twitter apps have basically shut down because they want everybody to be browsing Twitter on the Twitter apps and the Twitter website rather than third-party programs. So good to see Twitch still supporting and adding all of these new features and making sure that there's the proper developer API access as well so people can make cool things with these programs. Next up, we have just a tweet that I saw from a Twitch employee basically talking about if you want to be involved in a lot of the Twitch community-based marketing. So they do a lot of things for Black History Month and for Pride and events like that, which have always been pretty forward-planning about those kind of things. If you want to be involved in those things, you do need to have a certain option enabled in your dashboard to allow them to contact you. So it's basically a marketing funnel. But if you don't have this option enabled, legally they can't even contact you. So the option is in the data preferences section of your profile, and it's the bottom section, which is saying inviting creators to be featured in events, promotions, or sponsorships. So you can still leave other data preferences turned off, but if you do want to be involved in these kind of promotions where they'll tweet about you, put you on the front page, those kind of things, it's not guaranteed by any means, but it's an option that you need to have enabled just to be contacted.
Yeah, I took a look at this just to test it out. And you do actually have to, like in the screenshot, you see that little checkbox as something you have to mark. To qualify for this, you have to check that and then complete a bunch of questions about like age, race, demographics, even like military service, stuff like that, I think, to qualify you for some of their events. So if you want to be part of those and get, they say, events, promotions, and sponsorship opportunities, then you can do that. It took me like less than a minute to fill out. Mine was very straightforward, being a white male, but I was able to do it pretty quickly. So if you have the option, definitely check that out if you're interested in it.
You see, that's the difference. Ben, He goes the extra mile. He goes through and actually sees, is it just a checkbox or are there extra steps? Whereas I just pull the news in and don't bother checking how hard it is for you guys to do this. So Ben, here's the question. Have you signed up to be eligible for YouTube Shorts promotions, the ad incentive program?
I would love to. I don't think I qualify for... What the watch time is pretty crazy, Pete, for the new monetization requirements. Now, granted, it's still a whole new avenue, and some of the views on Shorts are crazy. So I'm sure you could just get lucky with a couple and qualify for some of those. But it's cool to see that it is rolling out now.
Yeah, so I released a tweet earlier in the week just saying that I had now received the updated partner program terms to accept. So I think most people should now see it in the top of their YouTube dashboard. If you're already a partner through the traditional partner program, you need to accept new terms. You don't actually need to accept until 6 months' time, which at the time of them announcing it is now July the 10th. But if you want to be earning revenue from any shorts that you upload, which starts on February the 1st, then you need to accept before that date. So Go through, check your YouTube dashboard, read through the terms. I'm sure nobody does read through the terms, but accept the terms before February the 1st to make sure you're not missing out on any money if you're creating shorts, that is. And on the note of YouTube, I also got an email from them this week that super thanks are coming to shorts. So there's going to be a few different ways of earning money through YouTube shorts, one of them being super thanks. I personally can't really see audience members super thanksing on a short. I just don't think the value, like I've received a few super thanks for YouTube videos, and you can kind of see the value there. Like if I've taught somebody some really valuable information in a 25 minute long YouTube video, or given away something free like the look pack that I do, you can see why somebody might pay to give a super thanks on the video. Super thanks on a short when it's like less than 60 seconds, maybe it's going to be popular, but it's worth just updating you guys that it is now an option as well. What kind of short are you going to be giving a super thanks to, Ben? I'm struggling for thoughts there.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, it's nice just to have the added option for monetization. So this is a way to earn more money on shorts, which is pretty limited in terms of short form content right now. So another YouTube W there. I think, to your point, I don't see this being super commonly used. Actually, Pete, I'm curious, you have a fairly large YouTube channel. How often do you see super thanks on just the regular YouTube videos? Do you know off the top of your head?
In terms of how often am I receiving them on videos?
Yeah, on a full length video.
I mean, I have the option enabled on every video. I think when you enable it for the channel, it shows up on every video that you have monetization enabled for. In terms of how many people are actually using it, it's rare. But it's definitely, you know, it's worth enabling as a feature. You know, the odd bit of change coming in here or there, and it's an option for people to thank you for videos that were super helpful. And it's an extra feedback point for me as the creator to know which videos people really found valuable, like valuable enough for them to, you know, send me enough money for a coffee.
Yeah. So, I mean, taking that forward, maybe that same idea would apply to shorts that are really informational. Now again, it's much shorter, like you said, so I still think that there's less likelihood someone uses this on a short form video versus a long one. But the other thing I was thinking of is, maybe I don't really know what the UI looks like for this, but maybe if your comment gets pinned or something with the super thanks, maybe it's a way to try and just get visibility, and people use it as a way, almost like Twitch. Sometimes people use donations to advertise other things. That could be one other potential way, because there's so many views on shorts that I could see people trying to just spend a couple bucks to get their comment featured at the top of video.
Yeah, it actually says here in the screenshot that I took from the email, show super thanks purchases some love. Fans love to be recognized for their support. Don't forget to thank them by hearting and replying to their comments using the from super thanks filter in the comment section of YouTube Studio. So it sounds like they're also adding some flows to the YouTube Studio app to be able to see exactly who have sent you super thanks and make it super easy to thank the super thankers. To make an easy statement complicated. All right, what else have we got in terms of Twitch news? I guess it's not really Twitch related, but better Twitch TV or BTTV, too many T's in there, have released a pretty major update. So that is an extension for those that don't use it. It's an extension for Chrome and I guess Firefox browsers as well, that allows you to basically have a better Twitch TV experience through more emotes and just additional functionality in general. It's been super popular for a while, and they've released a bit of an overhaul. Ben, do you want to go through some of the features that they announced? I wrote them down in the spreadsheet in case you haven't looked at the patch notes.
the drop 1.2 or something.
Yeah.
These are pretty interesting. I think to your point, they're probably trying to compete with 7TV, which has really taken off lately, and some other providers. But just going through their tweet list here, the first thing they mention is there's a loyalty badge, which reminds me of like Franker Phase Z. It's a very similar thing. You can rename emotes in your own channel, which is pretty cool for, again, this is through BTTV, so it's not a true native Twitch emote, but you can at least customize that a little bit. You can modify emotes on the fly. So in the example here, they have making a really wide emote or flipping it around or combining emotes. And then one of the most interesting to me actually here, Pete, is they have an auto claim drop feature. So instead of having to be there in the stream and click on to claim a drop once you've watched for 2 hours or whatever, it looks like it'll automatically get it for you. So you can kind of just leave it AFK and let it claim any drops that you want it to, which is pretty interesting. And I don't know if maybe 7TV does that, but I've never seen that feature before. Have you?
Yeah, I mean, this to me, whenever a game and Twitch partner to do drops, so like the classic example was the Valorant release, for example, there was loads of abuse of channels that had drops enabled running like AFK streams 24/7 where it was just running a VOD. And Twitch has changed a lot of the terms around you can't just stream a video on a loop, basically. But that was from the streamer's point of view. They were basically farming viewers and engagement to have more people watching because drops were enabled on their stream. This now seems like from the viewer's point of view, they can just leave a stream running consistently and then claim any drops that arrive instantly without ever having to be at their PC to click the claim button. Now, I can't remember if Twitch ever made you have to click the claim button within a certain time frame anyway. Maybe it was always going to end up in your inventory. But now, yeah, like you said, better Twitch TV has the option to automatically claim that drop and it will go straight into your inventory.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So, I mean, we're going to talk about drops in a second here. They've become a huge part of Twitch. And I could see this getting used and or abused potentially, so I'll have to keep an eye on that. Two other really quick things I saw from here. One is that they have language translations built in, which is really interesting. That's a big theme of this year, I think, Pete, with streaming. So I'll have to see if you can just like click a different language message and automatically put it into your own language. That would be super helpful for the streamer too, not just the viewer. And then also they have 7TV emote support in here, so theoretically you don't even need 7TV anymore if you can just use this and get all their emotes plus all the other features we just talked about.
Yeah, and I do just want to highlight the sort of shady tweet below where 7TV have replied saying happy to inspire, so claiming that they've copied some of the features from them. I do love a little bit of business on business banter. But yeah, well worth updating. I think it probably auto updates, isn't it? Because it's a Chrome extension. I don't even get the option to choose whether or not to update. And that kind of wraps up Twitch news, I think. One last thing, I guess it's not really Twitch related, but something that I saw in the week is that If This Then That, which is IFTTT, a very popular website for linking more than one website or application or API together. So it's commonly used for, you know, when you finish a run on Strava, export the data to a spreadsheet or countless different examples of that. They have added a new integration for StreamerBot, which is a super popular application that people use to customize different things on their Twitch stream. And, you know, like we said earlier, use those new API endpoints that Twitch is putting out there. If This Then That now integrates with StreamerBot. So they've got a few examples. I looked through these. They're all a bit naff, but here's a good example, I guess. New Twitter follower executes a StreamerBot action. So say you have a StreamerBot action of changing your hue color lights in the background of your stream, you could have that when a new Twitter follows you, it changes the color of your background, something like that. You know, really the genius in this is however you end up implementing it, but the good thing is that there is now an integration for If This Then That with StreamerBot.
Yeah, I mean, this IFTTT is pretty popular in the space with Stream Deck and a lot of other bots that work with it, so it's cool to see some options in here. There's some interesting ones. Like you said, the cool ones are change color of lights in the background. If you wanted to thank every person who follows you on Twitter, you could. I don't necessarily recommend doing that, but you have the option with this bot. And then some of them are weird. Like the one that I saw was send me an SMS, I'm not sure if I want my phone to get blown up by things happening on the stream, but if that's what you want to do, maybe like a mod contacting or something, I could see some uses there. Again, Pete, it's always cool to have more ways to do things with the stream and have these options, because people are way more creative than we are. So I'm sure there'd be some cool uses for it.
And I'm pretty sure If This Then That is still like mostly free. I think unless you're doing thousands and thousands of integrations. I used to use it like 10 plus years ago, even before anything to do with streaming, just to connect different APIs together when it used to be quite difficult to do that. So good to see it still going strong and adding more integrations for us streamers. And last little bit of news before we get onto the main topic that we're covering this week. Another tweet from Elon about a new feature coming to Twitter, which seems to be a regular occurrence on this podcast. In the coming months, Twitter will translate and recommend amazing tweets from people in other countries and cultures. We've talked a little bit, even this year, haven't we, about all of these different platforms trying to bring different language sets together. We saw YouTube adding sort of different audio tracks to their videos. So Mr. Beast's latest video has like 14 different languages that you can watch it in, and it's all properly dubbed. It's not just captioned. So I guess this is Twitter playing to that kind of card where they want to, you know, certainly for those tweet threads or tweets that go viral in different countries, translate them so that you're also able to benefit from the knowledge of that tweet, even if it wasn't written in a language that you understand.
Yeah, I really think this is going to be one of the big themes, not just of Twitter, but of content in general in the next year or two, Pete, because tech is getting really good at doing auto translations, or like we talked about YouTube, like creators are trying to have new ways to multi-stream in different languages or have different channels for each language. And if you just think about how many people you can reach with the same content in a different language, that's huge. So I think this is actually a pretty cool move by Twitter. And you already see places like TikTok do this with a lot of content. So I think we'll see more of this coming. And I'm pretty excited, because if I can have my tweet shown over to other people across the country, across the world in different languages, then I'm all for getting more impressions and reaching a bigger audience.
I've certainly seen a couple of my tweets this year have done really well and sort of blown up way outside of the following on the Gaming Careers channel. And I've already seen like people retweeting it and adding Spanish or Japanese or Chinese language to the top of the tweet. So sort of maybe they understand what I've said in English and then translated it and sent it out to their audiences that speak different languages. So certainly there is a lot of people using Twitter that aren't speaking English, and we've seen that across Twitch and across YouTube as well. So good feature, Elon. You know, I don't know if necessarily credit goes to you. It probably was something that was already in the works, but good to see that they're expanding out and trying to grow the platform as a whole outside of just your native language speaking. Okay, so a lot of the topic that we're going to be talking about today, the main topic, comes from some inspiration that we saw in Stream Elements' State of the Stream, which is something that they do monthly, I think, Ben. They sort of break down the viewership for the past month across the main streaming platforms, and, you know, look at any data that comes from that. And we pulled out a couple of key features that we want to talk about, specifically about games and how games can sort of help grow a streamer into a new realm of virality just by streaming the right game at the right time. But let's cover a bit of the report first and just talk about what we saw from the Twitch, Facebook and YouTube side of things, Ben. So do you want to kick this off?
Yeah, so like most of these reports, kind of their big focus at the top of the report is showing all three of the mainstream platforms, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and seeing how the viewership trended over the last couple months. In this case, for Twitch, for example, they have a shot of the entire last year, 2022, versus 2019 in terms of viewership. And how that has changed over the last year or so. And the claim they have at the top here is Twitch has epic growth compared to 2019, which is true, but I think it's also maybe not the main point you should take away from this graph, because it's weird they're comparing 2019 to 2022. Specifically, if you look at the 2022 line, they had the lowest month of the year in terms of hours watched during November and December. So while it is way higher than 2019, due to COVID and everything, it's still interesting to see that there's a slight trend down. You know, at the start of the year, it was like 2 billion hours watched. Now it's down about 1.6. So that's almost a 25% decrease since the start of the year, which is about what feels right if you've been on Twitch. And I think we're seeing a little bit of taper off from COVID. But still, if you compare this to the other platforms, still pretty impressive numbers here, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on, I think, the most interesting point. This sounds like the kind of slide that Twitch would say to Amazon. You know, big boy Amazon comes into the room and says, you know, how's performance been over the past year? And then they're like, oh, well, compared to 2019, it's, you know, it's up. We've had epic growth, Ben. We've had epic growth. And then if Amazon's smart and actually listening, they're like, why are you comparing it to 2019? You know, I want to see year on year or quarter on quarter. So it does surprise me a bit that Stream Elements is like trying to, you know, twist the fact. No, they're not trying to twist the facts. I get that they're trying to eliminate the anomaly, which is the pandemic had a massive impact on live streaming. And if you compare to the past 2 years where so many streamers and so many people were watching at home, then everything is always going to look like it's going down. But yeah, I find it interesting that all of the stats here that they've taken are like 2019 compared to 2022, and they're just treating the whole pandemic as a massive anomaly that we don't need to look at anymore. So yeah, I just found that quite interesting. We can go away from Twitch and look at the second largest, which is apparently Facebook. Again, this is kind of skewed, I think, massively just by the mobile market and maybe the non-English speaking markets, which neither Ben or I exist in. But Facebook gaming being bigger than YouTube is certainly a discussion point. But I think if we look at the majority of the games and the platforms that we're talking about, it's YouTube definitely has a bigger market share in that aspect. But quite a bit of variation through the year as well. I'm sorry that when I zoom in on these screenshots, it doesn't show the months below anymore. But as soon as I try to scroll down, it disappears anyway. It's just, you know, one of the websites that we're using. But anything from the Facebook gaming side of things that you can describe here, Ben, that you've seen?
Well, I just want to say Facebook and YouTube gaming stats are always a little weird to me, because I always wonder if they include non-gaming content, because obviously Twitch does. Twitch is adding just chatting and things like that, you know, casinos, whatever. Whereas YouTube and Facebook may just be gaming content, and, you know, IRL content would be separate. So keep that in mind. But Facebook is really interesting because it's kind of a roller coaster, Pete, of viewership throughout the year. It really peaked hard in January with 600 million hours. They ended in December, November around 400. So they're down a little bit, I guess around the same amount as Twitch, but they also kind of peaked in the middle of the year too. They came back up. So I can't really read Facebook super well, truthfully, but this is better than I thought it would be. And probably because, like you said, we're very focused on the English speaking side of Facebook gaming, which is not super big, but maybe it just is really big overseas. And that's why it's still staying pretty strong with even compared to YouTube here. Which YouTube, they only have the last quarter of December of 2022 showing for some reason, but it's kind of similar. It decreases from August through November and then spikes in December around 300 million. So interesting that for YouTube, they actually had the highest amount of viewership at the end of the year, well, from what we can see here, versus the other two, which had the lowest. I'm not sure what that would have been exactly.
I noticed that as well. And one thing to point out, like at the bottom of this YouTube graph, which isn't showing in the live stream, I can't show you the bottom, but it says this is only for live gaming content. General live content is in the billions. So like, I'm sure if YouTube wanted to make these graphs, they would dominate the live streaming space. If it's in the billions of hours of watch time, then that's higher than Twitch as well. So like, it is kind of skewed. I feel like whenever we look at any of these graphs, sometimes we don't know, are they considering just gaming? Are they considering live video as a whole? Because Twitch is more than just gaming now, but they always seem to count just chatting and any other non-gaming categories still in these stats. And then you've also got what is considered, this is watch hours, so that kind of defines itself. But when two people talk about views, then what is counted as a view on a platform? Because we all know that Facebook, well, for video, they used to count like a second of watch time as a view, whereas YouTube had to count 10 seconds. And, you know, there was different metrics on different platforms. So I think it's kind of hard to sometimes know if we were actually comparing apples to apples here or if platforms are completely different. I think it's unfair to now be looking at gaming specifically. I think the majority of the market knows now that live streaming is way bigger than gaming. So why not just include all live content on all three platforms, and then we're truly getting a representation of the size of them. But maybe that's just me. Maybe people do want to know the gaming things. I just personally myself, I want to know a bit more than that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think maybe we just need a second like two versions of each of these, one that's just gaming, one that's everything. And that would kind of put into perspective for YouTube and Facebook, I think, would be massive compared to Twitch if you combine all the non-gaming content. So we'll see. Maybe they'll tweak some of that in the future. But it's just cool to follow some of the stats sort of the last year or so for each of those platforms. They also touched on some trends that happened, Pete, in the last little bit, I think in December, actually, of 2022, mostly on Twitch. And the first of those was on how drops, which we just talked about, for Escape on Tarkov absolutely just boosted the viewership of that category through the roof. Do you want to touch on that a little bit here, Pete?
Yeah, so it's interesting to think about why games have sudden spikes in viewership. And that's we're going to come on to that as kind of the main topic, and if there's any way of being able to predict that as a streamer so you can benefit from these massive spikes in viewership. The example that they talk about here specifically in December is Escape from Tarkov, which is a game that I think every 6 months it has a full wipe. So you lose everything progress-wise in the game. You know, all your items, your leveling. I've not played the game myself. I know it's like a shooter, but I have interviewed before on this podcast, like right back when we started it, with the biggest Escape from Tarkov streamer who benefited massively from these kind of bi-yearly, is that the right term for every 6 months? event, yep. like a huge drop. He gets huge viewership increase. And you see here, this is in December 2022, well, you probably can't see on the screenshot, but a 455% increase in viewership for Escape from Tarkov in December. Now, he streams it throughout the year, so he deals with the dips in viewership as well as these massive spikes. But it's just interesting that big events can cause such a dramatic change in viewership. So there's a huge portion of people that probably play this game along with playing 20 other games through the year. But whenever a wipe happens in this game, they want to know what the big streamers, what the big content creators, how they're planning to re-level and regain all their gear. And that causes a massive spike in viewership. And it's not just Escape from Tarkov. We've seen this with pretty much any game that Twitch partners with to offer drops to viewers as well. People want the cosmetics. They want to see the drops. But they also, when there's an event surrounding the game launch or a release or a new season or something like that, there is just more hype in viewership, and we see these big spikes. So you pulled up a few other examples, haven't you? Well, I guess the most popular one that you want to talk about is The Last of Us, which has seen a huge spike because of the HBO TV series, which is doing really well. I haven't watched an episode yet, and I haven't really played the game either, so I'm not the expert to talk to on this, but what have you seen from that, Ben?
Yeah, so this is not specific to drops, to be clear. This is just sort of talking about how certain games end up trending in the meta of Twitch and everything due to what's happening. So if you guys have seen Last of Us trending on Twitter, the HBO show has been doing really well. I think it's maybe like the best received live action adaptation that I've seen for a game outside maybe The Witcher or something. But it's really doing well so far in terms of reception. And because of that, the viewership on Twitch is going up a lot as well. So there's two episodes out so far, Pete. The second one came out literally last night. And it looks like the viewership for Twitch is still continuing to go up even since last week when this all started with the show coming out, which is just really interesting to see how something, you know, just in gaming culture can cause the game itself to blow up, even though I think Last of Us itself is like a 10-year-old game or something. Now they've had re-releases and part two and stuff like that, but pretty cool to see that the whole culture around it is really booming too.
Yeah, so a game that came out 10 years ago is seeing a massive spike and a massive growth in viewership because of a TV show. Maybe that doesn't seem that surprising, but if you can start to look at what TV shows and what films are coming out over the next 6 months, then maybe you can apply this to your content and gain, you know, viewership from that. Because like you said, let's have a look at some of the graphs from Sully Gnome, which is a website where you can look at sort of Twitch stats in general. It's, you know, it's pretty crammed with data, but you can see here on the right-hand side graph, the viewership as it's grown over the past, I think this is even just 30 days. I bet if we expanded to 90 days, it would be even smaller. That kind of goes off screen now because I've lost the border that I made. But you get the point. Over the last 30 days, and certainly the last 2 weeks or so that this show has been coming out, massive spikes in viewership. And I wonder if that's a nostalgia factor of people that used to play the game, watching the series and then thinking, oh, I used to like that game, who's streaming it? or it's, you know, people discovering the game for the first time because of the show. But it's not just the big streamers that are taking the benefits from that. We're seeing new streamers coming up, maybe people that have already been streaming the game for a while and have predicted that this was going to happen, or just streamers jumping on board and realizing that this is sort of a way to be able to trendjack what is going on outside of the gaming space, but within other more traditional pieces of media.
Yeah, I think so. There's a report from Stream Hatchet here. You can kind of see with some of the actual streamers and the bump that this game had on directory. What's interesting is that it's from a range of different languages too. So it's not just like English speaking streamers, but Spanish as well. I think even like some VTubers on here. So it doesn't really seem like it matters what type of streamer you are in a way, or what language, as long as you just are aware of the trends happening in the space and can kind of capitalize on that. Which is really interesting. And I am really curious, Pete, to see if this lasts for a while, because I actually thought it would kind of spike for the first episode and then, you know, dwindle off a little bit. But it seems like the viewership is continuing to go up for Last of Us, even a week or two in. So we'll see. I think this one's like 8 episodes or something. If it'll keep going up the whole time, if maybe it'll peak somewhere in the middle. But it's really interesting to see. And it kind of makes you wonder if the same thing is going to happen for other game adaptations coming out, because there's a lot of them either in the works or that have recently come out. So there's potentially a lot of opportunity out there for streamers.
Yeah, and I think like the theory you have to have about growing a stream nowadays is you have to be a bit clever with things like this and, you know, try and jump on trends. Obviously, you need to enjoy the game. That passion needs to come through whilst you're streaming it. But even if the game isn't great and the TV show is really good, that could be a whole spin of a few streams for you. Or if vice versa is true, the TV show is really good, but the game is rubbish. You can go and meme on the game, and that's probably going to generate more viewership just because there's more people interested in that game that you're streaming. So, yeah, you were saying that you've seen a few different streamers from a few different languages benefit from this HBO Max premiere. There's a small graph here that I'm showing of viewership increase and hours watched increase over the past couple of weeks, and it seems to be continuing upwards, doesn't it? So we'll see if the show continues to be successful. Maybe we'll see that be, you know, sort of the game to stream over the next month. We've seen it in the past with games like Among Us. I don't think that necessarily benefited massively from a different type of media like a film or a TV show. There is a TV show out in the UK at the moment that's sort of captured the nation called Traitors. I think it came out in November or December. It's essentially based on the theory of Among Us, but they've just remade it into a reality show. But it was super popular. All my friends that aren't gamers were like, oh, have you watched this new TV show? And I was just watching it being like, this is just the game Among Us. They've just created a game, like a TV show around a game Among Us where people are backstabbing each other and trying to vote out who the imposter is effectively. But it is interesting that gaming and traditional media are sort of waving together. Ben has very kindly found us a list of all of the different TV shows, all the different video games that are coming out in 2023 video game movies that are coming out in 2023 and beyond. So they already have a video game that you could stream on Twitch, and a movie or a TV show is coming out of that video game in the next year or 6 months or something like that. So Ben, any of these in this list jumping out to you as something that somebody could definitely benefit from if the TV show or the movie does well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all has to do actually with how good the adaptation is and basically how much it catches on with mainstream. Because what's happening with Last of Us, and actually what happened with Arcane from Riot or Cyberpunk Edgerunners last year, is they were very, very good video game adaptations. And so a non-gaming audience saw that and I think was inspired to go check out the game afterwards and see what that was like. So I think really there's a huge list here, Pete, of different both movies and TV series or just series that are coming out in the next couple of years. Now, a lot of them don't have confirmed dates. They've just been kind of announced and someday they'll come out. The one that we know of coming up is the Mario Bros. Movie. That one in particular, I think, is a little tricky because there's a lot of Mario games. So I don't really know that that's going to cause a huge spike in Mario viewership. But the list on here is pretty interesting. There is things like Death Stranding, or It Takes Two, or Ark Survival Evolved. Like a lot of interesting games you wouldn't think would make good movies. Even like Portal, I see on here, would be super interesting. Any of these could potentially be really good adaptations and kind of catch on the mainstream. So I'd be very interested to see which of these are good and which aren't so good, because we've also seen some bad ones, Pete. Like Halo was not super well received. And I think there was Uncharted last year, which was also didn't have the best reception when that came out.
I mean, just the one that jumps out to me from this list that was a super popular video game when it came out, but I don't really remember it being a streaming title. Maybe it was even before streaming was a thing, was BioShock. Like, that was a super popular title. And I imagine if there's a good movie around that, people are going to want to jump back into that game and watching that game. But yeah, quite a big list. There's also a second one that you've shared, which is TV shows. In some ways, I think TV shows has a higher chance of generating viewership, because they can sort of tie you in and keep you addicted with some cliffhangers. And maybe if it's released on a weekly cadence, similar to what we've seen with The Last of Us, then you can benefit for many different weeks. But what sort of strategy do you think people can apply? Because I don't even necessarily think that this has to be to do with you live streaming it for 4 or 5 hours. I think you could, you know, you could riff on this with shorts or TikToks would actually be a prime example of how you can get people across to your stream. If you, you know, made some TikToks that were comparing the show with the video game and differences or similarities or things like that, those are the kind of things that can really, you know, jump on that trend and get people to watch your content and hopefully come across to watch your live streamers as well. Obviously, you've got to be a bit more careful with using footage from TV shows and movies than you do with video games. Usually the DMCA process is a bit more lenient with scenes from video games than they are with TVs and movies. But yeah, if you're careful with that and you find some unique ways to create watchable content that can then lead people onto watching your live stream and your long form content, then I think there's definitely a strategy there.
Yeah, I can tell you, I've seen some really cool examples of that actually with both Last of Us and Cyberpunk. So for Last of Us, I've seen a lot of people directly comparing, you know, the shots in the series to the game and the differences there. So you could even, like, I think in the series, Joel, who's the main character, uses a certain gun or something. So people try to recreate that in the game and make that the actual thing. And same thing with Cyberpunk. In the series, the main character uses a very certain weapon and upgrade, things like that. And so people have done playthroughs trying to be David or something, the guy from that show. So I think there's some really interesting stuff you can do if you want to stream that, and also especially short form content and push into a stream. And a lot of these, there's so much potential with a lot of these games. I think people here in chat have said some of these are already like movies, which I think is very true, especially for Last of Us. And so what Last of Us has done is kind of just copy the game almost pretty identically. And some other titles on here, Pete, like God of War, or some of the other really story-heavy games could do the same thing and be pretty popular. So if you're a streamer in that situation, you kind of follow that story with the variations too, which I think is pretty cool.
I think plenty of opportunity here for people to take advantage if they just plan and be a bit strategic. And that's the world that we live in now. If you want to grow a live stream, you can't just go live for 8 hours a day. You need to have some kind of plan for your content. And what better way to plan than to predict what will be big in the future and just get a head start on anybody else? I think that's going to be it for this week's pod. I want to go downstairs and finish off some birthday cake before heading to bed. And I'm sure Ben has, you know, probably got a birthday cake for me as well that he's going to eat virtually over the pond. But yeah, thanks so much for everybody that's joined in with the chat. A big shout out to anybody that's listening to the podcast version as well. Please do rate and review us on any of the platforms that allow you to do that. So Apple Podcasts and Spotify, I think you can give star rated reviews or thumbs up or whatever you can do. It does really, really help Ben and I. And it's a great way to show your appreciation. Or if you're watching on YouTube or the live stream now, just give the video a thumbs up and subscribe if you haven't already subscribed to the Gaming Careers channel. And, you know, we'll see you next week, because that's what we do. We do this show every week. If it's a birthday, we still do it. That's the deal, isn't it, Ben?
Absolutely. Make sure you guys wish Pete happy birthday on socials if you're listening. And also let us know questions you have about streaming. I think we're looking for ways to bring more stuff into these segments from you guys. So if you have your own questions we can talk about, or just interesting things you've seen, let us know. So we'd love to bring those in for sure. And yeah, thanks, Pete, and happy birthday to you. The cake's in the mail.